been involved in African issues for a long time, going right back to Feed the World and Live Aid. And, you know, we raised a lot of money with Live Aid. The famine in Ethiopia was an extraordinary thing to witness it firsthand, as I did. I worked in a camp there in the middle 80s and saw what famine could do. The AIDS emergency is dwarfing any of the famines that are, by the way, raising their head again. The problem with AIDS is it sets back all the work that you do in the area of development in these countries. And I think if you care about Africa, this incredible continent of such rare beauty and rare spirited people, you have to deal with the problem of AIDS. There's no way around it. And can I say this, that, you know, when the history of our time is written, there'll probably be three things that will come out of it. There'll be, you know, the internet, this war against terror, and the fact that, you know, an entire continent burst into flames while we all stood around with watering cans. You cannot ignore the AIDS emergency. If we do, it will be at our peril, economically, in terms of stability, and this problem will come home to visit us. You see, in sub-Saharan Africa, you have a few difficulties getting people to admit they have a problem. They fear there'll be a loss of investment. For sometimes they have religious difficulties. Also, they don't have the resources to deal with the problem if people admit to it. So it's doubly hard. AIDS is not a death sentence in the United Kingdom. We have drugs. The politicians tell us that it's too difficult to get these drugs to all the corners of Africa. Yet we can get cold fizzy drinks, and it is difficult. But the drug regimens that are necessary to deal with these, with AIDS, are actually a lot simpler now. And if the will is there, if the political will is there, and if the cash bottom line is there, we can get them to the people in Africa. That will encourage Africans to come out more and accept that they have a problem. You have the problem of stigmatization. People don't want to admit to having it. What's the point in admitting that you have it if you can't get drugs to keep it at bay? Mm. If you don't admit to having it and if you're not hearing the right advice about how to deal with your situation, of course the disease spreads. And this is really, really important that we deal with AIDS in an open and honest way. I met a king from the Ashanti region in Ghana. It was an amazing moment, actually. I was making a speech in a town hall, and the king arrived with all his bells and whistles, and, you know, they have these umbrellas over their heads and, you know, a sword out in front of them and all the traditional gear. And he arrived into the meeting. He didn't tell anyone he was coming. Everyone was honored that he was there. And he got up to speak, and he spoke in this beautiful, eloquent voice. He was highly educated. And told the assembled that he had just taken a HIV test in his region and admitted that he was worried that he himself might have had the disease. But he felt that was his greatest contribution, was to bring it out in the open and say, this is a problem we're having, let's get tested. As I say, this job of dealing with the stigmatization of the disease will be a lot easier if we can get treatment for people once they come out. It is worth remembering that it is a disease you don't have to catch. You know, prevention really works, and it's a smart use of money. You have to have prevention and treatment. I think all the wisdom on this coming from the science and medicine communities would suggest you have to have prevention and treatment. But, you know, just delaying the age of sexual activity, that really, really helps. In South Africa, it's now finally, when they're admitting to their problem, they're noticing a decrease in numbers in young people because they're getting the message of prevention out. It's very important. It's very important to get involved role models to talk about it, actors, sports people, musicians in Africa. And they're all ready to sign up. And, I mean, this is a very, very important moment. This particular World AIDS Day is crucial because in some countries, if they get to grip with their problems early on, they won't end up the way Uganda did or Botswana did, where they had 20% of their urban populations HIV and sometimes more. Can you imagine just being in Piccadilly Circus and a crowd of people, the crowds that pass through there, and looking and saying nearly a third of the people in this square have a death sentence on their heads? That's what it's like some places in some of the urban areas in Africa. So it's a problem that grows exponentially. It metastasizes like a cancer. There's a big word for you. It metastasizes. It grows. It grows out of control very quickly. So you've got to get there sooner rather than later. There's an amazing campaign going on in the UK, the Stop AIDS campaign, and they're asking Tony Blair for $1 billion. They're a coalition of all kinds of groups, Save the Children, Oxfam, people who really know their stuff. And their whole line is, you know, the world can afford to stop AIDS, but the world cannot afford not to. This is an exciting thing, that there's momentum on this. Right now, there's talk of war in Iraq. It is crucial that the United Kingdom and the U.S. in particular are seen at this time to be reaching out to Africa. Africa's 40% Muslim. A top United States White House person admitted to me that, yes, there's another 10 Afghanistans potentially in Africa. It's just, the war against terror is actually bound up in the war against poverty, believe it or not. And I didn't say that. Colin Powell said that, the Secretary of State in the United States. All the military men all know that you can't win this war by military means alone. So anyone who is concerned, not just for what's going on in Africa, on the beginnings of a problem in India and China, but anyone who's got concern for what's happening, for the instability that we see in the news and read about every day, should be involved in this. In fact, it's an opportunity to show off the innovations of the pharmaceutical industry in the UK and in the US, to show off their creativity. And these drugs should be advertisements for what we can do in the West. And, you know, it's not just hearts and minds here. If you're saving lives, if you're saving the life of a child, of a woman's husband, of her children, of herself, there is no chance for extremist groups to be given sanctuary in a community where that's happening. That's just a fact of life. And it's cheap at the price, really. As expensive as it is to tackle this problem, it is much more expensive to deal with the instability in the world right now, where, if we're honest, the West is not seen as a particularly beneficial force in the developing world. That's just, you know, that's just a hard fact. This is the thing about AIDS, is this emergency, you actually can't deal with it. And that's maybe a point I'm not getting across. So that Drop the Dead campaign, the last time you had me on the radio banging on about something, I have seen the fruits of everybody's labor there. And countries like Uganda, who used all the money that they were spending on debt, on education and dealing with AIDS, there's been incredible results turning back the tide of AIDS in Uganda. And actually, their debt money, I saw this firsthand, has resulted in nearly three times the amount of children in Uganda are going to school And don't let anyone tell you it's a lost cause or that Africa's a basket case. It's a beautiful continent full of extraordinarily gifted people. And right now, they need us to gather around, and they will do the rest of the work. I mean, I'm spending most of my time, of course, working in the U.S. on this because Geldof has it covered in the U.K. You know, we're knocking on doors where they don't open. We're shouldering them. I go in there not just with a load of problems, but hopefully with some solutions to make things easier for them. And we're getting a reception, you know, we are. And earlier in the year, I had the Secretary of the Treasury, that's the finance minister, if you like, of America, Mr. Moneybags. I had him come to Africa. He invited me on his plane, and we fought about where we would visit. You know, he wanted to show me, you know, factories and how it's important to invest in Africa, which is a fair point. And I wanted to show him what happens if you don't invest in aid. And he went back to Washington. He's still talking about it. I met with Bush. I've met with Colin Powell. I've met with every senator I can find, every congressman I can find. And we are ganging up on the politicians on this one. I think if there's three things to just keep in mind when you look at this problem. One, realize that we cannot, after September the 11th, 2001, think that we can live in a glass case. We, the prosperous few, away from the wretched poor of this world. What's going on in Africa affects what's going on in the UK. The second thing is to realize that this is our moment. We own this moment. The politicians are put in office by us. We can actually demand that they respond and that the scale of the response matches the scale of the emergency. We can do that by getting out on the streets, by sending emails to the Stop AIDS campaign or whatever. And three, just to remember that, you know, it is not all black. That science is on our side here. There are drugs to deal with this. There's a drug called nevirapine, which stops the transmission from mother to child, which costs nothing. And there will eventually be a vaccine. So this is the moment right now. And if we get to it, we will see a real turning around of the problem. This is really important stuff. Anyone listening who's interested, of course, you can check out Radio 1 online and click on One Life. You can also email Tony Blair through the Stop AIDS campaign website. And I like the idea of him getting hundreds of thousands of emails on this. I think Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, Claire Short, I think they are interested in these issues. We just have to convince them how interested the people who voted them into office are. And I've no doubt in that myself, but they have. So please, please get involved. I ended up seeing things earlier this year that really I never want anyone to see, or I don't want to see again. I can remember a hospital just outside of Lilongwe, and just in Malawi, people queuing up to die, three in a bed, two on the bed and one underneath. And people just, with all their humanity and all their dignity, just robbed for them for the stupidest of reasons. Money. You know, this hospital hardly had water, clean water. It was just ridiculous to be making people, nurses and doctors, try to get to grips with it, with this emergency. Without enough help. I remember in South Africa meeting beautiful-looking man, 25, loves, you know, the UK music scene, just loves his life, talking about how through a French NGO, Médecins Frontières, he was given these drugs that kept him alive. This guy looked like much more of a rock star than I did, by the way. He was in peak condition. And I said, that's incredible. You must be... He said, yes, if you had seen me a year ago, He said, I was half this weight. I had scratches all over my body from the itching you get. And I looked like I was in a horror movie. I'm so grateful to these drugs. They're simple to take, and they've made a huge difference. And I said, that's fantastic. He said, yeah, but here's the thing. He said, I lost my wife. She didn't get to the drugs in time. She died. I have two children now. I have a new life and a new love in my life. But she's HIV positive too. So I have this choice. What do I do? Give her my drugs so she stays alive and my kids lose their last parent? Do I keep the drugs for myself and let my love die? Or do I share the drugs? Because that doesn't work. We'll both die. And I was left with a feeling there that this is something we should never, ever, ever have. This is a question we should never let anyone have to ask themselves. But, you know, Jonah's story is an important one, you know, because he was just such a cool guy. And when he told me this story, it came out of nowhere, you know what I mean? And I want to pass it on. I felt ashamed to be in a world which had the medicine and was not sharing it out. I just imagine the closest analogy we can get to the AIDS emergency was the bubonic plague in the Middle Ages, the Black Death it was called, and Europe lost a third of its population back then in the Middle Ages. Imagine if, say, China had drugs to deal with that problem or technologies to deal with that problem, but hadn't shared it with Europe because it was too expensive. Imagine how history would look at China. That's exactly where Europe and America are right now. We have the drugs. We are not sharing them out. We are not getting to grips with this problem. And I believe history, indeed God, will be our judge on this one.